Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to
Healing Light Radio Show.
Welcome to the Healing Light Radio Show with your host, Reverend Stan. We will be teaching about the Word of God and teaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Welcome to the Healing Light Radio Show, and it's going to be an awesome time tonight. We're going to be talking about the topic of the devil uses sickness for tearing down your faith. The devil uses sickness for tearing down your faith. How you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing good, Stan. How are you?
Doing pretty good tonight. It's going to be an awesome time, and the Lord is going to hear some awesome music. And we're going to be talking about Job and talking about the finished work of Christ. It's going to be an awesome time in the Lord. And, you know, everybody, you know, stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. And I want to tell everybody, if you would like to call in that number on your screen. It's 515-602-9685. It's 515-602-9685. If you're watching us on Roku TV, I want to say hello to all of you guys and everybody on YouTube. God bless you. Everybody on Facebook. You're on my Healing Light Ministry page. Praise God. Thank you, guys. I want to say hey to everybody on my new page, the Alvin Shell page. Praise God. I was trying to switch over from my old page to another page, but somehow it didn't work out too good. I'm still planning on closing the old page down, but as my wife left it back open, so I'm going to use it to broadcast my shows to everybody. So that's going to be a broadcasting page. You will not really contact me on that page. If you want to contact and message me, go to the Alvin Shell page. You'll be able to contact me there, or go to the Healing Light Ministry message. You can go there, or you can also go to healinglightministriesnc.org and you can email me there and get a message to me. Praise God. God is doing some awesome things. And we're going to go right into a song. And, you know, I really believe we've got some awesome Christian music here, and we're going to go right into Thank You. Here we go.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for the valley you let me walk through. I just want to thank you, Lord, for the mountains you helped me climb. I just want to thank you, Lord, for being there when I need you. I just want to thank you, Lord, for being there all the time. Sometimes were a struggle. I was on my knees and barely had a crawl. But you reached down and picked me up and made me humble. And you saw me through. Thank you, Lord, for the valley you let me walk through. I just want to thank you, Lord, for the mountains you helped me climb. I just want to thank you, Lord, for being there when I need you. I just want to thank you, Lord, for being there all. Like the valley struggles. There was times I didn't think I could make it to the top, but your hand reached down and pulled me over. Now I must go on, and I must never stop. I just want to thank you, Lord, for the valley you led me walk through. I just want to thank you, Lord, for the mountains you helped me climb. I just want to thank you, Lord, for being there when I need you. I just want to thank you, Lord, for being there all the time. I just want to thank you, Lord, for being there all the time.
Welcome back to the Healing Light Radio Show here with Jacob Phillips. And we're going to be talking about Job. What do you know about Job, Jacob?
Well, I know that he had favor with God. We don't read anywhere in the new in the old covenant that what kind of covenant he had, but we know he was the richest man. I believe it was in the East. The Bible says that he was the richest man in the East. So we know he had more than his neighbors. And we also know that, like I said, he was very close to God.
Praise God. Praise God. And we're going to go into that right quick and read a little bit about that in First Job. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose whole name was Job. Uz. But anyway, whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And the seven sons and three daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke and oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses each of his appointed day. He would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of the fasting had ran their course, Job would send the sanctifies them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This Job did regularly. So he would actually sacrifice things to the Lord, which, you know, we don't go sacrifice anymore. He would actually sacrifice to the Lord when, you know, every time he thought his sons did sin and all that stuff. That's what you had to do for sin. This had to be past Moses, you know. I really believe this is past Moses. So at this time, the law has already been put in, and they had to sacrifice. This is way after Abraham. This is way after Abraham. This is when Moses was in the picture. And Moses already laid down the Ten Commandments, and Job was during this time of the law. The law was in place. And as the Jewish folks, you know, lived back in those days, they had to sacrifice. What do you think, Jacob?
I think it might have been a good thing that he had all those animals, bro, because we don't know how many sacrifices he made. So some of them animals might have came in handy, like having 7,000 of this, 3,000 of this, and wow, that's a lot.
Just think, every time you know, his kids would say a cuss word or his kids would do something, you know, very sinful, he would actually have to sacrifice a animal. As you know, Jesus Christ is the last sacrifice. That doesn't go on no more. But back in those times, Jesus wasn't born yet, so they had to go by the law. So we're going to go into where Satan attacks Job's character. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came amongst them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? I have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his persons." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So what does that say to you, Jacob?
Sorry, I lost you.
Okay. What does that say to you about what the little deal the enemy and the Lord made there?
Well, here's the issue. We have to remember the first part. He sacrificed for his sons and daughters every time they sinned. Well, he also sacrificed when they didn't, or when he thought something was going on. And so that hedge of protection that was mentioned, when he told the devil all that he has is in your hands, it's because Job had opened the door with his fear. And that hedge was removed. And so, contrary to traditional teaching that is taught in various places, there was no permission given. Satan had permission because, you know, God blesses us because we shun evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, the Bible says. And Job did that. But in his doing that, he sacrificed for his kids, you know, whenever he felt like something, they were doing something wrong, even if they weren't doing something wrong. And that hedge of protection was moved, and Satan had free reign. And when it's talking about him going to and fro throughout the earth, remember Satan was cast down out of heaven. And so what was he doing? He was looking for trouble. You know, we all know what happened in the garden. He possessed a snake, and he was looking for trouble. And so that's what he was doing. He was looking for trouble. And when God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" he wasn't saying go and tempt him. He just wanted to know if you had looked, you know, if Satan had him in mind. And God said you can't kill him, but, you know, do what you want to do. But he wasn't really giving him permission. Satan had permission because he had an open door.
Yeah.
And so there's that.
Yep, but what's so awesome is, you know, all the problems that, you know, that Job had a lot of children that sinned, but his sacrificing was actually stepping in the point where Christ supposed to have been there, but Christ hadn't died yet. So the sacrifice of the animals covered that sin where the enemy could not enter into that family and do those things. Normally, if Christ wasn't there or the sacrifice wasn't there at that time, you know, the enemy would come in and just destroy them. But at that time, as Job was actually sacrificing on a daily level, for everything that they done, it was covering, like it says in the Word of God, it was a fiery hedge upon that family, he couldn't come in. And Satan was looking at those sins and stuff they've done, and he's like, "Well, I got so many doors here, I could come in. But if the Father would just lift that hedge, I can come in and just, you know, mess the shop up." But he wouldn't. He wouldn't. He kept that hedge on her until I really believe that Father God had a, you know, he knew Job's heart. He knew no matter what the enemy was going to do and what he's going to do, he was going to destroy Satan with his, you know, with Job there. He knew in Job's heart there was something there that he loved him so much that Satan could not conquer him. Satan could not conquer Job, so he opened that up. And one thing that I was actually experiencing today, I saw this wax museum thing. It was on one of these channels where they go and visit these different places all over the United States to visit to on vacation. You can visit these places. And they had this section of the place where it was Job. It was a walk-through Bible wax museum, which, you know, the one, I think the one there close to Pigeon Forks or something like it is actually shut down. So this in here is the only one that's open. Even the Holy Land theme park is actually shut down too now. So this here is the only existing thing that's open now for us Christian believers. So, but anyway, they were showing Job there, and all of a sudden the enemy was where it showed where the enemy was attacking Job, and he was sick and all that thing. And, you know, during the, you know, the COVID that we've all experienced, we saw, we heard, and, you know, when that fear, and as we was talking earlier about how Job was in fear all the time of the sins of his family and all that, that God would remove his blessing. So he kept on, you know, sacrificing for his kids for the fear of what was going on there. And he didn't know what was going on. It was a lot of fear there. So anyway, fear is the door that the Lord was showing me. Fear is the door that the devil uses to put sickness on us. And then when he gets the sickness in us, he infects it with more fear. And so as that sickness keeps on building and keeps on penetrating and keeps on going, that fear enhances that sickness. It makes the sickness stronger. And then the Satan starts working on the mind to program the mind, there is no hope. You're going to keep staying sick. And before you know it, the enemy destroys you and takes you down because he's actually used sickness and fear to destroy you. And we're going to go right into Job right here and see how Satan attacked Job with his health. It says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came present and their selves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. Let me see here. Here we go, character. And the Lord said, from going and from the earth, and walked back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And, you know, as he said yes. So what Satan actually did was he actually hit Job with a very bad a sickness that destroyed his body. I mean, he had boils all over him. I mean, he had all type of sickness. And what, you know, sooner or later happened was that his kids started dying. His family started dying off. His wife gave up on God, told Job, you need to give up on your God because he's forbidden. I mean, he went against us. He's not for us anymore, Job. Just give up and leave. And Job kept on saying with these bulls and all his sickness on him, he says, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to repent. I'm going to keep repenting, and maybe God will hear my voice. And some of his friends and some of the priests came around him and said, Job must have done something so very bad that he brought this curse upon him and his family. So they went and repented for him and started bowing down and sacrificing. And everything that they did didn't work, but they didn't know that God was proven how awesome Job was, how he was so very, I say, he was so very dedicated to God that he wouldn't give up. Folks, the enemy uses that sickness. He uses bad things in your life to get you to give up on God. That's what he does. He uses fear. He uses sickness. He gets that to tear you down. Now, as you know, as Christians, the only way that we get tore down is when we fall away from the Lord. What do you think, Jacob?
I agree with that. And I can just see the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So I can see that through Job's friends and through his wife, that he was accusing Job, but he's using his friends and his wife to do it. And we have to remember what happened in the garden. You know, the first sign that man and God had separated was fear, because in verse 10 of Genesis chapter 3, Adam said, "I hid from you because I was afraid." And so that was the first sin committed. That was actually the second sin committed, but that was the byproduct of sin, was the fear. And then with all that came sickness and this and that and the other, and the first murder and all that kind of stuff we've seen. But Satan is the accuser of the brethren, because right after, I can picture that right after Job's wife started doing all that stuff and this and that and the other, that I can see Satan right there, right in front of God, saying, "See what he's doing? See what he's doing? He don't care about you. See what he's doing?" You know, I can see that happening, you know, in my mind's eye.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I really believe that it says in the Word of God, you know, Jesus talks about how Satan wants to sift us. He wants to see. He wants to remove, our physicality or our carnal selves. He wants to take the carnal selves. He actually, when God throws, there are some people that fell completely in sin, and it says in the Bible about throwing them to the enemy, where he will actually go through and destroy that flesh. And what that is, it gets so tough on you that you give up. You give up, and you go with the Lord. You go with the Lord, or you fall into what you've created. There's no comfortable way there. You know, there's a time when I really believe there's a time when the Lord wants us to pick him or pick the other guy. That you got to go one way or the other. And some people think, you know, I'm just going to ride the fence a little bit. You know, I'm going to ride the fence and see what happens. And, you know, the enemy owns the fence, don't he, Jacob?
I don't have a comment on that, because I'm not really sure.
I've always heard that the devil owns that fence that you're trying to ride on. So what happens is that when this happens, it shook. And, you know, then you see where you are. But the whole thing of this program that tonight is that, you know, Jesus died to take that sickness from us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we're able. We don't have to sacrifice lambs. We don't have to sacrifice birds. We don't have to do none of that stuff. Jesus was the one and only, praise God, he was the one and only sacrifice that had to be made for the whole planet Earth, praise God. So, you know, once he did that, it was done. The only thing we have to do is go to him and believe in him, and it's done. I really believe while we see a lot of sick Christians in the church is because they do not have that faith. They do not fall to what Jesus did for them, praise God. What do you think, Jacob?
I think Leonard Ravenhill said it best. The church needs nothing more than a series of messages on the new birth. And I've said recently in meetings that I've been in that, look, we don't really understand the magnitude of the whipping post and the cross. We don't really understand what God gave up for us to be where we need to be with him. And I think that message needs to be repeated every day, probably multiple times a day, or at least every time, you know, for yourself at least. We need to understand the magnitude of the cross and what God gave up for us to be in communication, but also with the whipping post. You know, a lot of people say that the cross was where sin died, sickness died. No, it was at the whipping post. You know, if you read your scripture, it says, by his stripes we are healed. Well, he didn't get stripes on the cross. He got them at the post. And so I really believe the church is going to have to be re-educated, you know, on simple things like the new birth. You know, it's a simple thing, but it has a lot of detail, and we need to be re-educated as a church on just those things. And, you know, Paul said we need to get away from the elementary things and go on to the more mature things. Well, the cross is supposed to be elementary, and the whipping post is supposed to be elementary. We're supposed to know those things, and we're supposed to be walking in those things. And the more mature things Paul was talking about was walking in love toward people, which that's another subject for another day. But we need a re-education on the new birth, for real.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we do. That's so very true. We really do need that. And, you know, it's awesome, folks. And I want to encourage you guys, when you listen to this show, share. This is what gets the word out about the Healing Light Ministries and about what we're doing here. Share this thing. If you're listening to us on Facebook, share. If you're listening to us on YouTube, subscribe and give us a thumbs up. If you're watching us on YouTube, the thumbs up is what's going to push us into the YouTube computer and get us amongst more people. Praise God. So every time you give us a thumbs up, it helps us. Praise God. Subscribe. And, you know, let people know about the Healing Light Ministries, what we're doing here with the radio show and what we're doing with Friday nights and the church sessions that we have on here. And, folks, if you want to see God bring healing, call in. You will see God touch it. I've saw so many tons of miracles over the past 10 years. I mean, that I couldn't even tell you all the things that we've saw over a period of time of all the miracles we saw. We saw legs grow out. We saw backs get healed. I saw cancer disappear in front of my eyes. That there's tons of things, you know, that we've saw that God has done. I saw swelling legs actually go back in. I've saw jaws pop back in. I've saw get healed. I've saw arms get healed. I've saw, you know, heart conditions get healed. You know, you name it, I've saw it. And God still does that today. You don't got to be the biggest faith guy here. Only thing you got to do is say, I receive, and you will actually get that healing. That's the only thing you have to do. You have to have as much faith as a mustard seed, and God will come in and bring healing to you. You don't have to be the most holiest guy to get healed. It doesn't take anything. Only thing you got to do is say, what if, and you'll get healed very quickly. Just allow the Lord to move, and you'll see that healing come in expecting. That's what we like to see. We like to see you guys come in and expecting and see what Jesus does. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 515-602-9685. It's 515-602-9685. You cannot call this number, not unless we're doing a show. Right now is the best time to call into the show. The number is 515-602-9685. We would love to pray for you. Praise God. And we're going to go right into the song, and it's called Rise of Zion. Nate Mariachi, here we go.
Darkness turns to light. Just bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord. May your praise rise, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of the highest praise.
Guess what, Jacob?
What's up?
It's Holy Ghost time. Here we go, Eve 8.
Your precious blood, Jesus, consume my life. You are my song, melody through the day and night. Your fire brings warmth, your fire's all consuming. I feel your presence moving, fire fall like Pentecost. Thinking about that blood that you shed on that cross. Holy Spirit, God, I step, this world is lost. Let your love burn within us, heal us, refill us. Break it down to rebuild us, you're gracious, amazing. Burning fire, it's blazing, my favorite fragrance. Let your fire attract others, let the heart shine.
Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire.
So let my prayer strong, invoke, drip with the blood that you spilled, though, washed up our sins, bro. Holy Spirit came from heaven, blessing from the window, fan of fire, flame when the wind blows. I think I'm in my zone, it's shut up in my bones. His word is in your mouth, it's sealed in your heart. This fire won't go out, and he has called you out. Since the Holy Spirit beside you, paraclete, kicking up dirt like a paraclete. This wasn't given to David, but given to you and me. Fire burn and give them light, yeah, so they will see. Call me an arsonist, fire started from revival.
There's no hope that's within me, that it is not like you. He formed and restored me, came and he made me new. Thought that I was straight, this came and made me new. Thought that I was straight, it came and brought me out. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. Holy Ghost, the flame. Holy Ghost, the flame of fire. 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 Holy Ghost, the flame of fire.
Praise God. That's an awesome song, Jacob.
I don't mind busting a move every once in a while.
Yeah, it's pretty cool there. I try to keep the music mixed up a little bit. I don't have the same stuff. So, you know, we'll hear some awesome gospel music. We'll hear some alternative Christian and R&B. I try to keep it, you know, mixed up a little bit for everybody. So it's going to, that's something I like to do with Christian music. So I really hope, you know, a lot of this music is touching you guys and bringing healing and deliverance. And just right now, I know the Holy Spirit's already released as we're preaching and teaching. I just release the Holy Spirit to bring healing and deliverance upon everybody that's listening to this broadcast. I ask for the Lord to touch them right now in Jesus' name. The Lord brings healing right now to the legs, to the arms. And as they're listening, it's just touching their heart and just opening their mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about, is just opening your mind to the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation come to you. we want you to get healed. We want you to get delivered, but we definitely want you to receive Jesus Christ and be renewed in him and know that he is your savior. And it actually does save you from hell. He is the only way. The word of God, there is all these other gods that we see in the world, but he is the only one. It says he is the only way. The Holy Bible is the only one out of all those religions says that is the only way. None of them's ever said that, but the word of God says that. So he is the only way. All those other branches that we see in the world is not God. It's the enemy trying to make up religions to pull you away from God. It's fallen angels that's fell on this earth and was created into some false gods to pull you away from the true God, Jehovah, Yahweh. And they created these foreign religions to pull you away. But Father God sent Jesus, Yahshua, the Son of God, to bring you back to himself, praise God. So when you receive Jesus, it brings you back to God. It connects you. It gives you that connection. You're able to speak to God again. You're able to be connected to him again. Without him, you feel lost. Everybody that has not received Jesus, they all feel empty. They feel like there's something missing, and what they're missing is Jesus. What do you think, Jacob?
I think there's a lot of people that use a lot of different things to fill that void. I know that I did for a long time. And it wasn't that I was without Jesus. It was that I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know who I was. And that's basically the same thing. I mean, you can know who Jesus is all day, but if you don't know who you are, according to him, then you're going to fill that void with things that are not going to fill the void. They're going to be what I like to call temporary solutions to a permanent issue. And like I said, I, for one, I know what that's like because I've experienced it. You know, I didn't do any drugs or anything like that. But then again, you could call anything a drug. I didn't do any substance abuse. But I used other things to medicate issues I had and not knowing who I was. But when you don't have that personal relationship, you're going to look for other things to fill that hole. And nothing's meant to fill that hole but the relationship with God. And he sacrificed a whole lot, you know. And see, here's the issue with that. No matter if somebody's born again or not, we've all been bought with a price. When Jesus died, he purchased the whole earth and everything in it. He owns everything. Everything belongs to him, including people that don't even know who he is.
Praise God.
That's what evangelism is for. Evangelism is to tell you the news that you've been purchased back in a covenant with new and better promises. And, you know, that's what the gospel is.
Amen. That's true. Praise God. Amen. That's true. And the gospel has done a lot of that. It's been across the world, and I really believe most nations has heard about it. The most nations have been prayed for. And anytime that you preach the gospel, what happens is Jesus brings healing, deliverance, salvation, all that comes with that because he is the true God. If he's a false God, none of that would happen. If it would, it wouldn't really work too good. But Jesus, when he comes and lives inside of your heart, there's something that changes. Now, he doesn't guarantee that everything's going to be perfect all the time, but he guarantees that he will be there. So I always have somebody there for you to help guide you and bring healing and guidance and lead you to all the right ways. He says, I send you like sheep amongst wolves. But he's there with you. There before you accepted him, you had nobody. Maybe your dog, but that's about it, And what's so funny is that you had nobody. You might have a significant other, but it ain't much they could do. It ain't much they can do. They can't see inside of you. They can't see what's coming against you. But Jesus can. Jesus sees all the things that you think, things that you want, the blessings that you're asking. He sees and knows all these things, and he is the door that opens up to the Father that supplies all needs. So you had no door open to the Father that supplies all needs. Now, he does give, blessings and gives things to the unsaved, but he doesn't protect you like he does his own children, praise God. He might send you some stuff, but there's no protection around you because you're not his. You're not his. But when you receive Jesus, you become connected to him, and he protects and keeps guard over you. And the only time that I really believe when things like something happens, what happens is that you have actually opened yourself up open to the enemy by falling away from the Lord. See, the thing of it is, our protection is with Jesus. When we have no faith in Jesus and we're broke away from Jesus, it's not there no more. But when you keep your faith, faith means, and I've said this on this show 1,000 times, faith is trust. When you have trust in the Lord, and a lot of people nowadays only have trust in themselves. This world tries to teach you there's nobody for you but yourself. You can only count on yourself. And what does that do, Jacob?
Leads you into a whole lot of places you don't want to go.
Turns you into self-centeredness, and that's what Satan was. He was self-centered. You'll be just like your father. If you've not received Jesus Christ, that would be like the father, like the devil. There's two fathers. There's Satan, and then there's Father God. There's the God of lots, Yahweh. You got one or two fathers. What does it say about that in the Bible, man?
It says, and I can point you to the scripture. Whoever's listening, you can look this up later. Matthew 6:19-21 talks about that. It says that no man can serve two masters because he's going to love the one and hate the other. He's going to despise the one and serve the other. But no man can serve two masters. No man can serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. And money represents the lust of the eye, the lust in the flesh, the pride of life, which is the love of the world. And, of course, we all know that the agape love is love of God. So you're going to have – you're going to display – either agape love or you're going to go for the love of the world, which is, the Bible says, he who gains the world loses his own soul. What does he gain? And
that's
so
true.
You can't serve two masters.
Amen. You can only serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you the Lord says, he says, my yoke is easy. And he says, my yoke is easy. He's saying, the things that I ask for you is not that hard. And then he lays down, all the Beatitudes. All that is all the stuff that you cannot do if you're living in your flesh. If you're living in your flesh, it even makes the Ten Commandments look wimpy, because he makes it so tough for the Pharisees to see that you cannot live completely for God through your flesh. Can you, Jacob?
Nope. Another scripture, Romans 8:5-8. The Bible says that the carnal man can receive nothing from God, and it also says that the carnal mind is the enemy of God, and it does not abide by the law of God, and it can't because it doesn't know God. And so you can't live in the flesh. In fact, if you're in the flesh, you're not in Christ. You can't really be in Christ if you're in the flesh. Now, you can get out of the flesh and get back into Christ through repentance, but you can also step out. And so, you can't do anything in the flesh, but go right to destruction.
That's it, because everything on this earth has the curse of death on it. Everything. When Adam and Eve fell, the curse of death came on this planet. Everything fell into death. So everything has an end to it. Everything has an end to it, even our physical bodies. The only one that didn't have an end to them was Jesus. He died and then rose again. That's one thing that death could not touch. It could not touch Yahshua. It tried. He defeated it. He took the keys from Satan. He says, you cannot have this. He defeated death, praise God. But everything on this earth has to die. But when you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, your soul or your spirit man is redeemed to go to Jesus when it passes away. And plus, not only Jesus didn't die for you to become a quick ticket to heaven, he also wanted heaven to grow inside of you. He wants you to change. He wants you to go to heaven one day, but he wants heaven to open up inside of you. He wants the kingdom of God to open up inside of you. It's not just a quick ticket to heaven. We hear a lot of churches teach us, we just want to get you to heaven. Yeah, get you to heaven, but live like hell until, right?
What one denomination does. I got a friend of mine that just recently switched denominational churches, and I'm not going to mention it. But he said this. He goes, the denomination I grew up in will lead you down the Roman road to salvation, but they'll drop you there and leave you. And he goes, they don't teach you the full. They don't teach you the rest of the gospel. And that's true. I also know of, you know, some friends of mine that I won't mention their names either. But the thing is, some people that I'm pretty close to, I hear them preach every once in a while. You know, the ultimate goal is to get to heaven. The ultimate goal is not to get to heaven. The ultimate goal, the Bible says, is to be conformed to the image of the Son. That's the ultimate goal.
Yes, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's supposed to grow inside of you. You're supposed to release heaven out of you, not you just get a quick ticket.
Right. You don't. That's not God's plan. God's plan is not to get you, you know, to pass go and collect $200 without hopping into jail. God's plan is for you to be successful here. You're not going to need sick. You're not going to need healing later. You're going to need it now so that you can be healed so you can get others healed. You're not going to be, you know, you don't need things now, or things then rather, that you can't use now. The kingdom of heaven is right now, and there's a whole lot of people that are waiting on something to happen when God's already made it happen, and he put it inside of you. And so we're supposed to be ruling and reigning. We're not gonna worry about having to worry about ruling and reigning when we get to the other side. That's not even important. What's important is what's going on right now and what God has for us right now.
Praise God. Praise God. That's the whole thing, is that he wants to release God inside of you. And, you know, when Jesus came to live inside of you, you're actually the temple of God. And, you know, I really believe that there's some people that they have some rats inside of the temple. And that's through things that they've done, sins, things like that, and just open these things up. And they believe a lot of weird stuff. And the thing of it is, as you build a relationship up with Jesus and with the Father, and, you know, and manifest the Son of God through you, all the things that Jesus has, he died for you to have the same things. He died to have the same things for you to have the same things as him. And then he expects you to do more, man. He expects you to do more than what he did here on earth.
Well, the issue is, you kind of got the issue, but I'm just going to add to it. But the thing is that we're joint heirs, and if you're a joint heir, even if you're a cousin, you know, or let's just say even if you're a stepbrother or a stepsister, which we're not, we're brothers and sisters, even if you're a joint heir, which means you share. If you're a joint heir to the will, and we need to be reading the will to see what's in it, if you're a joint heir to the will, then you get the same share of inheritance.
Praise God. Praise God. And the thing of it is, we don't really realize that. We don't really realize what, you know, what we all have. If we would just realize what we actually have, there would actually be a lot of things that would change in our lives. We'd see a lot of things change, and we would see, you know, be a whole different scenario on what would happen in our lives all the time. So, you know, folks, we really got to understand, you know, what we have in Christ, what we can accomplish. Once we have a relationship with Jesus, a lot of that other, you know, sins and stuff starts falling away. We start understanding who we are, and we don't want to do those things no more. If you have the want to sin all the time, there's stuff going on. And what the Lord has been teaching me, I've known this for years, but he's an ongoing teaching. When you're having these issues, there's issues going on inside of you. There's issues going on inside of your heart. Sin issues has to do with the heart. If you've had unforgiveness, you've had these things, it opens doors for the enemy to attack you. That's why we need to repent. We need to forgive people. We need to close these doors. I was listening to a testimony the other day on Sid Roth, and this guy had stage 4 cancer, and he actually was they put him into a part of the hospital where everybody dies. Nobody makes it off of that floor. They when they leave that floor, they end up in a body bag. It's simple. So they put him in there. You know, they told him that he had cancer, and he said, "Well, I don't want to go on that floor. I want to go home." Okay, so he told the doctor, he said, "I want to go home." And he was a Christian. He was a believer. He said, "I want to go to some healing evangelists. I want to pray over me. I want to go to home, and I want to do this. I want to do that." And, you know, he did that. But when he got done, he started getting sicker. He got sicker and sicker and sicker, so he ended up had to go back to the hospital. So then his stomach started swelling up. Kind of like Job, it started swelling up. Things started happening. You know, he started getting sicker, and they're saying this guy ain't going to survive. He's going to die. We've already told him he's going to die, but now he's you know, seeing what we're saying is right, and this hocus pocus Christian stuff is all fake, and you should have listened to us, and, you know, you heard all the same things these doctors and scientists say about, you know, faith. So anyway, he says, "I want to prove these people wrong." He said, "Jesus is king, and I'm going to prove these people wrong." So he prayed and prayed and prayed. His stomach started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He's like, "What's going on here?" And all of a sudden, he heard Jesus came into the room, and he heard a voice saying, "Forgive. Forgive." And then all of a sudden, in his mind, all these people that he's left unforgiven start rolling through his mind. And he started to, forgive these folks. All of a sudden, there was one guy that he had a lot of unforgiveness towards, and he didn't know what happened to him because it's been years and years and years ago since he heard this guy. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke a number in his ears. He said, "What is this number?" He said, "I've got nothing else to do. I'm going to call and see who it was." So he dialed in the number, and he picked up the phone, and sure enough, it was that guy that he had unforgiveness from his teenage life. He's like, "Hello." He said, "You might not know me. There's something that you did to me many, many years ago, and I just want to let you know that I forgive you and I release you from that." He accepted it. I mean, as far as I know, he accepted it. And so he hung up, and he's like, "Wow, God was really trying to do something for me." And all of a sudden, he felt a change happen into his chest. And the Lord told him, he said, "You got to get in my word. You've got to change how you're seeing things." So he got healing scriptures, and his mom was there with him, his family, and they started giving him healing scriptures. He started cutting scriptures and putting it on the wall, and he started constantly, reading the promises of God. He was pouring into himself, and the Lord told him, "Said you got to put my word in you," and he was reprogramming from what all the doctors said and all the trash it's putting in his head to reprogram himself into believing the word of God. The word of God is power in itself, praise God. And he started doing this. And he noticed that the swelling in his stomach went down. The doctors know that the swelling was going down. He looked like walking death when he came back into the hospital. It's just started going crazy. But then they put him on chemo. And this is the worstest type of chemo you could think of, because the chemo actually was like pure poison to kill his stuff. And to tell you a little bit of more of the story was nobody really lived off his chemo. This is weird. They give you medicine that kills you. Go figure. But anyway, what he didn't know, that was medicine that kills cancer, but not many people has made it out of that stuff. So anyway, with him not knowing that, him taking this medicine, he started getting sick, throwing up, and he kept on reading the Word of God. He kept praising the Lord, praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, everything in his stomach just went flat. And it came to a point the doctor said, I need to give you a CAT scan and see what's going on here. So they went and rescanned him. The last time they checked him, he had cancer all over him. It was eating him up. And they went and did the scan, and they put him back in his room. They said, we're going to bring you the results back here pretty soon, next day. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the doctor came in. He said, we've been looking at your scan, and we do not know what happened. There is no cancer in your body anywhere. He said, it's not in your blood. It's not in your kidneys. It's not in your stomach. Completely gone. And he said, matter of fact, the medicine that we gave you, nobody's actually lived through that medicine. And we don't know how you survived all that time. So he ended up becoming a walking miracle and a testimony to those doctors that didn't even believe in Jesus. And they thought he was one of these harebrained crazy guys, over-religious guys that was doing something. And, you know, a lot of those guys, they don't have no faith. They just, you know, this guy had the faith. He actually prayed to Jesus, and he knew that he was going to get healed, and the end results was that he came out of that hospital walking with no cancer in his body, praise God. What do you think, Jacob?
I think that's a fantastic testimony, and that's just one of the many testimonies that you and I have seen and heard over, you know, the number of years either one of us has been doing ministry, and that's how God is. He wants to be that to everybody. You know, and T.L. Osborne's wife, Daisy, asked him a question one time, and they were on a plane going somewhere to minister, and she said, how big is God? And T.L. said, how big is God? And she said, as big as we let him be. You have the power to let God be as big as you want him to be in your life. You know, is he as big as killing cancer? Is he as big as wiping out the AIDS virus? Is he as big as whatever problem that you have? He's as big as you let him be.
Amen. And the thing of it is this is what I was listening from another minister today, the other day. He said, you know, the Ten Commandments that God created was actually created to help keep the body healthy. It was actually help keep the body, and that, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with it, but it helps to keep the body healthy because everything that you see in there, every one of those sins destroys your body, don't it, Jacob?
Every one of them.
Everything that it tells you not to do protects you from destroying your body. Adultery destroys your body. You know, lying destroys your body. Deceit destroys your body. Killing, you know, all this stuff that was in those laws destroy your body. And if you follow every one of them, you're going to stay pretty healthy. You know, you're going to be walking in good standards.
Or you want to make it easier, you can love your neighbor and love your God, which is basically the whole 10.
Yeah, basically, love your neighbor and all that, and you don't have none of those problems. Just don't love your neighbor's wife too much. So, but anyway, if you know what I mean. Anyway, off that, that goes into adultery. But
that deserves a ha ha. You got a ha ha button somewhere?
Yeah, I got to get into that. Let me find that. There we go. Don't love your neighbor's wife too much. Yeah, that ain't good. But anyway, you know, you've got to, all that stuff actually teaches you to to actually, you know, keep yourself healthy. It closes a lot of doors that the enemy tries to open up. And I really believe that God knew how the enemy would attack us. And plus, at that time, those Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites, which was going to bring forth the Son of God, that he knew the history of the Israelites that was going to bring forth his Son. It's going to come through that those people. So what happened was that he's like, you know, hey, you know, these Jewish people is going to bring my Son. I'm gonna do what I can to keep them from destroying themselves, where my Son will be healthy when he comes through. So he put these laws in there, and they're like, well, we can't do it. But the whole thing it was keeping them safe. Those laws was actually, they said those laws was healthy. And I'm not trying to put laws on you because we are actually saved through Jesus. We're saved through that. We don't go under a lot of that stuff anymore. It's still good. Shows us what we're doing when we fall in sin, for sure. But I'm just talking about what that was set forth at that time. So I'm not trying to push a law on, you know, just don't think that. I'm just talking about how God looks out for us. He's looking out for his people at that time, but he looked out for us for sending his Son to destroy all of that stuff. For when we have faith in him and we walk in the Spirit, it directs us away from sin. It directs us from ourselves. He wants us to die to ourselves. He wants us, when we get saved and we get baptized, he wants us to have our old selves put into that grave with his Son. He wants the new us resurrected. He don't want the old man to live. He wants our old man, which is our sinful man, to die. And we see people trying to resurrect their sinful self. What do you think, Jacob?
Every day that happens. That's why we're supposed to die every day. I was just thinking the other day that, you know, when I woke up, my first thought was, when I woke up, today I have to make a choice who I'm going to serve. This is, you know, the Bible says, you know, people say, well, we're all going to stand before God, you know, one day. And I'm like, you know, I counteract that, but we're standing before God every single day. You know, we're standing before God every single day making a choice who we're going to serve. This is not a one-time issue with a prayer you pray to get born again. This is an everyday make a choice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. And, you know, God does a lot of things with that. And I want to say hey to everybody on Roku TV. I want to thank you guys. And if y'all are listening to me now, and, you know, you've got maybe I've sent some of these radio shows through the you know, messenger on Facebook. And if you receive this, I want to thank you guys for listening. And this is how we get the gospel across. And folks, share this program. That helps us out. You know, just don't look at it and pass by it. Share it. It will help get the gospel to somebody that really needs that. Maybe they'll get healed from this program. Maybe it'll touch them. That's what the Holy Spirit does through these programs. We can't tell you how many people that's got touched or got healed through these programs all over the world. Right now, I do know Healing Light Ministries, we are all over the world. We're in South Africa. We're in Cuba. We're in Canada. We're in India. We're in Alaska. We're in Florida. We're everywhere, praise God. When you're hearing this, people is listening to this all over the world. People's listening to this broadcast in Australia, praise God. So this is going everywhere. So we want this to go more places in these areas, praise God. This broadcast is actually being listened in the United Kingdom, also in England. So share. If you're in Australia and you're listening to this, share this to your brothers and sisters in Australia. If you're listening to us in Africa, share it to your brothers and sisters in Africa. If you're listening to us, you know, in the UK, just spread it and let people hear the Healing Light Ministries. Folks, I do know the UK has opened up Roku. We are on that. Look for the Healing Light channel on Roku and subscribe to that channel. I put new stuff on there. Plus, you can hear every one of these shows at the nighttime around 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. the Healing Light Radio Show goes live on that television channel. You can hear all of our shows that we do here every week on Roku TV. You can listen to it, praise God. And plus, you get to see programming. During the day, you see programming that we have on there. You can see the programming, praise God. So, you know, share, you know, let people know about the Healing Light channel on Roku TV. If you know a lot of people that has the Roku TVs, there is actually Roku TVs that already has Roku inside of them. And if you don't have a Roku TV, there's little Roku boxes that you can connect to your TV, praise God. Plus, there's a lot of movie things on there that you can get, not from my channel, but Roku has all type of different things you get. But also, the Healing Light channel is free. There's no charge for this channel. Only thing you have to do is subscribe to the Healing Light channel. There is no charge for our channel on the Healing Light, you know, on Roku. So that's the awesome thing. There's a lot of people say, well, there's a lot of apps here on Roku I've got to pay for, but the Healing Light channel is not one of them. It's actually a free channel that you can listen to us and hear preaching on Sundays. On Sunday evenings here in the U.S. and whoever is in Eastern Standard Time, I was across the world here, when Sunday comes around, I actually play the Healing Light church service all day long on the television. So you get to hear that. And plus at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Roku TV, we actually have a live church service for you guys. Sometimes we do communion, but I do pray for everybody. You can call in and get prayer or message on the board there and get prayer. And folks, I'm going to tell you this. One thing that you can do when you listen and you're listening live, call in. Get that prayer. Do not be scared not to call in. Do not be scared to call in. You may see an awesome miracle that might happen to you that night. I've had somebody called in, got completely delivered. They got their house set free from demons, from spirits. They got their house set free from that night. That can be you. Maybe your daughter will get set free from whatever is ailing them. There's some awesome things that happens, praise God. So don't hold back, because that might be your breakthrough, praise God. God does some awesome things. And when you share these broadcasts, it really helps to promote what we're doing, and plus it helps get the gospel of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ upon everybody. Get somebody saved today. Because when you go up to heaven, the day that you die, all the things that you've done to help the kingdom, he's going to reveal it to you. Maybe you share this broadcast and maybe 15, 20, maybe 30 people got saved, and you helped that. And you helped that, but just by sharing, an easy share, an easy thumbs up, because every time you give us a thumbs up, it kicks into the YouTube computer and it shares our shows even more. The computer in YouTube, no matter whether what they think or anything, is set up. Every time you give shares, you give thumbs up, it's programmed to spread it even more. So when you give us a thumbs up, it spreads the show even more. So that helps us out tremendously. And if you're on JoHu TV, where, you know, I want to say hey to all those brothers and sisters. I don't think Periscope actually exists anymore, Jacob. I think they took that platform down, man.
Yeah, they took down Parler too. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that actually did happen.
So I think, actually don't think that place even exists, but, you know, on my restream, I did see that it was still lit up. So I'm not sure there, but I did hear that, Periscope was took down. I mean, that was actually a very famous, site that we use. We actually broadcast our shows on Periscope, and it was very handy. It really, got a lot of stuff out to a lot of people here in the South. A lot of people here in the South listen to Periscope. They just do. And we've got some people healed and delivered through that place, praise God, and got people saved. I mean, it was really awesome. But it's pretty bad when they come against our free speech and try to destroy free speech, because it ain't what they want. Yes, if you was in Russia or China and all those places, yeah, they hold it. But America, our ancestors paid with their blood for our freedom. They paid a heavy price. Like Jesus paid a heavy price to save us from Satan, our ancestors paid a heavy price for our freedom. And they're actually spitting on that here in America. They're doing all these things, and I really believe that, you know, the people of this, of our country, needs to stand up for our rights and say, hey, that's enough. And that's a whole different show there, man. But I'm not going to go there. But that's a whole different show. So we're going to stick with what we're doing. But, folks, as you share this thing, it really helps people. And I'm going to go ahead and let Jacob go ahead and pray for everybody, Jacob.
Father, we thank you for everybody under the sound of our voice. Lord, we thank you, God, that tonight's program has touched somebody. We don't know where in the world, but somewhere in the world somebody's listening, or somebody will listen, and they'll catch a glimpse of your love and your forgiveness and your mercy. We thank you for that. That's a priceless gift. Father, we thank you for everybody that is listening, and we thank you, Lord, that you're with us always. Father, we thank you, Lord, that everybody out there is healed, saved, and delivered. The Bible says to call things not to be as though they were. So we're just going to make the declaration that people are saved, delivered, and healed, and they're receiving what they need right now. Lord, we thank you, God, that everything has already been provided, and we just grab hold of the blessings, Father God, and we repent. We actually repent, Father God, for not taking hold of what's been so dearly paid for. So we repent for that, Father God, and we start to grab hold of blessings because we need them to do the work that we're supposed to do. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. We thank you for the grace that we have to have every day to live and do the work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. And right now in Jesus' name, I just command all migraines to leave. I just command that spirit of migraine to leave now. Go now in Jesus' name. I command that thing to leave right now in Jesus' name. I release the anointing upon people's legs for knees to be healed. I command arthritis in the knees. I curse arthritis at the root and at the seed. I command that arthritis to die now. Come out of the knees. I command all the cartilage and all the bone to be made whole right now. I just command all the tendons in that leg to be made healed now in Jesus' name. I command deaf ears to open. I curse the spirit of deafness, the deaf and dumb spirit. I command it to leave. Leave now. Go now in Jesus' name. I command that deaf and dumb spirit to leave, and I command their ears to open. I command right now for them to be healed now in Jesus' name. I command the eardrums to be healed. Praise God. Polio, I don't even know where that came from, but right now I curse the spirit of polio. I know they have a vaccine for it, but you know how that goes. So I curse the spirit of polio. I curse it at the root and at the seed, and I command that stuff to die right now in Jesus' name, to come off of them. Liver. I command somebody's liver to be healed right now. I command the spirit of alcoholism. I curse that spirit of alcoholism, that spirit of addiction. I curse and bind that thing, and I cast it off. I speak life to that liver. I command that liver right now, the fatty liver right now, to be healed right now. And I command that fattiness and all the damage to be removed. And I command it to go back to the original size, to the original way that God created it in Jesus' name. I command the liver to be completely healed now in Jesus' name. You probably start feeling heat on your liver, on your stomach. And I just speak life into that liver now. I speak life into that liver now. I speak life into that liver now. I command complete healing in that liver right now. I just really feel in the spirit that you're feeling like a hot poker over that thing. It's like the fire of God is all over that liver right now. And right now, that liver is being healed in Jesus' name. I command whatever the devil has done to that liver, I command it to be undone. Right now in Jesus' name, I ask the Lord Jesus right now to bring complete healing upon that liver right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Feel anything, brother?
I'm good.
Amen. Amen. And as soon as you said that, I felt eyes to open. Spirit of blindness, I command that blinding spirit to leave. I bind, rebuke that blinding spirit. I command it to come out of the eyes right now, out of the corneas. I command that spirit to come out of the corneas now. Go now in Jesus' name. And I command those eyes to be open now in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, I release the Holy Spirit to bring healing upon those eyes right now in Jesus' name. And so it is. Praise God. Praise God. I want to thank every single one of you guys for listening. And thanks again, Jacob, for coming on the air with me.
No problem.
God bless you guys, and I will see you guys Monday. Well, I'll see you Friday. I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll also you'll hear us Monday. God bless you, and see you guys then. Thanks again, Jacob.
No problem, bud.
You are listening to
Healing Light Radio Show.
I'd like to thank you for listening to the Healing Light Radio Show. Check us out on the web at HealingLightMinistriesNC.org and check us out on Roku TV at Healing Light Channel. God bless you. Have a blessed day.